Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 606. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
I just wrapped up watching AEW as my time allows these days. And I've got to admit that the one question that popped out in my mind was, did they do a good job of selling their Full Gear pay-per-view this coming Saturday? And the main event was, to me, very emblematic of the show in general. Because it was weird, but featured, and they definitely talked about it a lot, but, oh man, it did not make me want to get that pay-per-view at all. You know what I mean? Like,
the ending of the show absolutely did not. They have done nothing to explain to us why we really should care about Cody versus Darby Allin. Darby Allin has literally not left the cheap seats in the last 3 weeks. Just to start with. There's no real reason why this match is taking place. You know, they say that Darby, you know, won that one match against Ricky Starks. And that's earned him this title shot. The whole thing is very weird how they, you know, blew off the Cody Brody, Mr. Brody Lee feud on Dynamite a month ago in the dog collar match, and we haven't seen Brody Lee since. And Cody's been doing nothing but wrestling baby faces since until last night when he's back messing around with the Dark Order again, even though he seemingly finished that off last month. It's very confusing.
And we haven't even gotten
into why the hell Billy Gunn and his little boy were in the main event of an episode of fucking Dynamite in 2020.
That part was terribly confusing to yours truly. I'm like, huh? Like, they're in the main event? Like
why is Billy Gunn wrestling on TV unless it's a battle royal? You know, and they just need this needs somebody. And his son Austin, I don't know. He's been wrestling for 2 years, and this—I know this is 2020. It's been 2020 is a weird year, but he's been wrestling for 2 years, and this is only his—I checked it out. This is only his 30th match and his first ever match on Dynamite, and he's in the main event. What the hell are they doing? This is the go home show for a pay per view. And against the underlings of the Dark Order, who we're starting to get some credibility until that one came to a scratching halt when Cody just took the TNT Championship back from Mr. Brody Lee, almost as quickly as he lost it.
I mean, that sums it up. Like the whole chain of events is just really weird. Like he had because. One of the announcers I felt like questioned the alliance, but then another one of the announcers is like, oh no, they inducted them into the Nightmare family over the weekend. And I'm like, huh?
What? And why was Brandy with that other girl? Who is she? Where did she come from?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that woman seemed like a pleasant surprise, to be honest with you. She did a better job of being in a wrestling match than a lot of the ladies that have been on Dynamite. She had to do nothing but sell, but hey, she had some half-decent offense when she got a couple of small openings. But yeah, she came out of nowhere also. Also, you know, again, to kind of talk about it, like it was one of those, like, why are you introducing these people right now, right before your pay-per-view, essentially?
And how many 50-year-old men does Cody need to be in his family? I mean, I get that one is actually his brother, but and of course another guy who looks like he's 50, even though he's probably younger than I am. I gotta get my digs on QT Marshall when I can.
Yeah. Well, I was blessed with continuing follicles, so I will be okay with insecure about making fun of QT Marshall. But yeah, he's another guy that I don't care about, and it was kind of weird that they got promo time on a show that was a go home show.
Yeah, what are they gaining by advertising that match a week in advance? That's more of a repellent than an attraction. I mean, the show had its strong points, but my God, this may have been the most underwhelming end to a wrestling show, and one of the most underwhelming ends to a wrestling show that I can think of in a while. I mean, Raw went through that period maybe a few years back where they just decided that no one was watching the third hour anymore, so we'll just put all the good stuff in the first 2 hours and just end on and just end on a dour note.
Oh.
But they stopped that fairly quickly, you know. But
because they realized that people were really tuning out that easily once they realized what the pattern was.
Yeah. Well, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy for sure. Yes.
But, yeah.
This was intended to be the main event of this show. So that's a different thing altogether. I'm talking about. They actually thought that this was a draw. Later I'll talk about the issues I have with NXT's main event, but it was nothing compared to this. I mean, you got this rookie and you got this nobody in there, this old man who, quite honestly, was never that big of a star in his day. The Dark Order has gone back to just being a joke again. And then you got Cody, you know, in the middle of it all, with a match on Saturday that has no real heat or no real build to it, other than it's happening and the title's at stake, because the title's at stake in every Cody singles match.
Yeah, it's yeah, that situation's pretty weird. Because, and I mean, I don't, it probably did not help that there could have been a fresh matchup for Cody Rhodes to have, and it would have gotten rid of another, what I found to be a very grating promo from Taz. We could have avoided that if Cody took on, let's just go with Ricky Starks. He doesn't need to be taken on Brian Cage at this stage. You know, just obviously Cody's going to hang on to the belt for a little bit. I would think that Brian Cage would come later and maybe actually win the thing.
Yeah. And, you know, it also ties into, you know, Taz earlier, his promo earlier. I mean, even the, you know, the babyface leading announcers had no arguments against what Taz said. Cage is literally the number one contender to the World Heavyweight Championship, or also the TNT Championship, because they pulled them both together, I guess, in that regard. Ricky Starks has only lost one match to Darby Allin, and yeah, they're not on the pay-per-view. There was no lie in anything Taz said.
Yeah, like, I thought that, and that's maybe where I should, I thought the way he delivered it was grating, but the point of it, as you, you know, illustrate, is that was, you know, he was, he was right about everything. Like, at least I feel like the roots of the Eddie Kingston, John Moxley feud, like, I guess I've enjoyed that build up so much. I haven't really had a problem with that aspect, but it definitely would have behooved AEW, I think, to involve Cage, or, like I said, I would have assumed it would have been Ricky Starks in this angle with Cody, you know, just to freshen up the matchup. Because I think we talked about it last week. This will be his like fourth match with Darby Allin.
You know what? Cody teaming with Darby Allin against Cage and Ricky Starks. That would make sense.
Oh. Yes.
Cody, you know, still a babyface. Maybe changing, maybe not. We don't know. He seems to change his mind on that every week. You know, teaming with the guy he's facing, but, you know, is, you know, also a babyface, and they have a mutual respect for each other to face the enemies of Darby Allin. That's a fun, you know, you tease a little dissension. Maybe they can win or lose. You tease, you know, have the stare down after the match.
Right.
We've got our build for Saturday. And I just did that off the top of my head.
Well, yeah, it's.
And that would have been 10 times better than what AEW did.
Yes. Yeah, it. That execution has been just off for a while. And it's kind of funny. I thought Cody had done a pretty decent job with himself outside of the Nightmare Collective situation.
The only thing I can think of, there has to be something going on. Well, because he hasn't been around in over 4 weeks, four to 6 weeks. There has to be a legitimate situation going with keeping Mr. Brody Lee out of action that they had to rush the title off.
Yeah, like you said, yeah, I guess I've got to agree with you. Like, that has been, like, I mean, you kind of pointed it out, like, the Dark Order's kind of been a headless chicken, so to speak, without Mr. Brody Lee around. And, like, they haven't barely, you know, even the announcers haven't really made it much of a point to point out that he isn't there. So, it almost feels like one of those things where it might be a little bit short-term-ish, but it's still obviously long enough that, what'd you say, was it 4 weeks ago that they had the...
Something like...
Three or four weeks? You know, but I mean, that means that he's been off TV for 2 to 3 weeks at least, you know?
Yeah.
3 weeks at max. So...
I think it's more than that.
Oh, okay.
Let me look. I don't think he's made any appearances since. I don't believe he's made any appearances since.
But it's been a while, so there must be some concern or injury.
The match took place on October 7th. So yes, it's been 4 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, I would think something is up. So
otherwise, why wouldn't they have waited for the pay-per-view to do that match?
Oh,
yeah. So yeah, something's up there, and they've had to do something with Audible, but they've still had plenty of time to have more interesting interactions between Cody and Darby Allin, and also inserting, say, Team Taz in there saying that, you know, both Cage and Ricky Starks are more deserving of the title shot than Darby Allin. To lead to, you know, a short tag team feud before Cody and Darby have their one-on-one match. Once again, off the top of my head.
Yeah, well, and it would have tied everything together better. And I guess that was another part of the angle that just has been a little bit tough is that no one has really responded to Taz's criticism and tried to explain it away.
No, because it's too centered in logic. There's nothing Shivani or Ross or Excalibur could say.
Oh, well, I don't even mean it from that perspective. I guess I just mean it from like Cody Rhodes saying why he's defending against Darby Allin. Like they
No, they
haven't, and I don't think that it would have been weird and out of place for Jon Moxley and for Jon Moxley to kind of mention that promo. But I feel with like kind of the free rein that Cody had at the end of the show that he could have, mentioned some reasons why he's taking on Darby Allin. Like he didn't really do a good job of selling him. And as much as I like the Darby Allin videos, him maybe bouncing off of driving cars is not something I need to see.
not at this stage. It's been a year of these types doing this type of stuff for Darby Allin. It's time to do more real character work and putting him in interesting feuds, which they've done somewhat. I'm not gonna say that they completely whiffed the ball on that one, but the thing is that a couple of weeks back they announced that Darby Allin's getting this title shot, and they're utilizing more and more Tony Khan as the spoken about but never seen authority figure in AEW. Which I don't think they've ever actually explained who Tony Khan actually is if you don't follow sports business.
Oh,
You
right.
don't know who this man is or why he has any credibility at all. But that's a minor thing.
Yeah, if he had an on-air persona, I think that they'd need to flesh it out a little bit more than they have. But yeah, they're kind of thinking about him about the like he's the Great Oz or something like that, I would suppose, where he is just kind of somewhere untouchable, even though he seems very accessible since Taz waited outside of his office for 3 hours.
Yeah, that's pretty rude. Once again, there's nothing unjustifiable in Taz's words or actions.
No, you should be able to find some time in a 3 hour window to talk to him at least. Yeah, so Tony Khan hasn't really looked, I mean, I guess he looked good for fining the Young Bucks for super kicking people.
Fired them for their actions,
Well,
and
yeah.
that's another storyline at this point. They've botched that so badly with all that stupidity. They wasted weeks of time. They could have been planting more seeds with them and FTR, driving home how important the stipulation, their self-imposed stipulation of not challenging for the tag team championships again is. Doing more, mixing them, intermingling more with Kenny Omega and Hangman Page to keep that story moving. Just a complete botch, really until the last minute that they tried to bring all that back together.
Yeah, like I really did like the moment that they had there at the end, but everything that led up to it is kind of like
I mean, until now, these two storylines were not intersecting anymore. They
yeah.
went their divergent paths, and now they're intersecting, and now you're left with a thought that either Paige or Omega is going to go heel, and maybe they will end up with Tully and FTR. Is my feeling on it.
That would make a great deal of sense in the scheme of things. I'm not sure if we'll see it. Like, I guess I didn't feel like I got that hint that it was going to happen, but it's that would not surprise me if it's on the table.
I imagine, with or without, Tully and FDR's involvement, someone's going heel. Someone had better go heel at the end of that Page Omega match. Because my God, they've been dragging that out for. We're in our 10th month of dragging, our 11th month of dragging this out. Well, I shouldn't say dragging it out.
Yeah, it's
Over the summer, it became dragging it out.
it, yeah. Yeah, it was okay the way they were doing it, but yeah, that Adam Page absence there at the end of the year or at the beginning of quarantine really kind of it threw off a lot of storylines for them.
It did. So I could definitely be understanding about that. They really should have probably done something more impactful coming out of All Out, the tag title match at All Out, and all that. But no,
No.
but they're where they wanted to be. There's a pay-per-view with an FTR, the first ever FTR versus Young Bucks match, and a Hangman Page versus Kenny Omega match. Once again, it's so kind of disappointing because on paper this looks like a great card, and it probably will turn out. And it very, although the last AEW paper wasn't exactly the best show ever, but this does look like it could be a really great card. They've just did so much, especially with these guys, just botched it so much.
Yeah, it's been tough to watch this because it was one of those things. Like, I guess I remember FTR at that point being the Revival talking to the Young Bucks on Twitter. I'm like, yeah, that would be a fun match to see someday. And now I'm like, do I really want to get this pay-per-view? Do I care enough? Like, that's how bad that storyline's gotten. That's not really a terribly good place to be in for one of your top storylines for, one of the founders of the company.
Yeah, no. It's really maddening that they wasted all that time with all that stupidity with the Young Bucks super kicking non-wrestlers that never went at, that didn't go anywhere. It really didn't because, Young Bucks didn't turn heel, and they're being jumped by FTR every other week, and we're supposed to, feel sympathy for them now. You kicked a 60-year-old announcer in the face. You kicked two of them in the face. Why should we feel sorry for you?
Well, and it was really strange too because
Well, no one cares about Alex Marvin. No one cares about Marvin is. They should have kicked him harder. But Tony, what did Tony Schiavone ever do to anybody?
Yeah, he never did anything to anybody, I don't think. And what was I, there was something else that was just, oh, the Bucks were trying to get, sympathy, it seemed like, or no, they were blowing off the sympathy in their, promo part of, before the match. 'Cause didn't they have a promo before the match? Yeah. With Private Party.
Think so? Once again, it's so unmemorable.
But they almost kind of played up being dicks in that, so it seemed really weird that after that match they were put in a spot to try and get sympathy, and it's just like, huh? Like, what are you guys doing with your characters? Like, this is
No,
just not good.
and FTR is fully healed with Tully. unless we're gonna get a real swerve where Tully screws over FTR and goes with the Bucks and say Kenny, which I guess is possible too. Maybe I've spoken that into existence. although they have added the stipulation that Tully is supposed to be banned from ringside, but that's also another red herring, possibly, for what's really going to happen. I may have actually stumbled upon what's actually going to happen. It would be the only thing that makes sense. FTR have been assholes, but you could say that they were manipulated by Tully, and when Tully was working with the elite guys the whole time.
That kind of double cross would work. You'd call that a double cross, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a double cross, a double turn, to use a more insider term over the years. That's come into vogue. But yeah, it would be a double cross and a double turn, yes.
Yeah, like you said, I guess it could work. I think it'd be a little bit weird, but whatever, man. I did kind of get a chuckle out of... was it Jericho saying that Tully moves around like he's 25 when he's in there with FTR? And I'm like, oh boy, there are some bridges that are hard for me to cross. Like, I understand that you need to hype some stuff, and I'm like, come on. Come on, Chris. Like, God bless Tully. He looks good for his age, but he's his age. So, we'll just leave it at that. Yeah, that the double cross by Tully might actually be the best escape hatch from this mess of an angle. But I don't, you know, I guess I don't see that one happening. And neither of us seem like we're planning on finding out live.
I made the last minute decision last time, but right now, nah, money wise, I got too much coming up that I don't think I can justify it. No.
Yeah. Well, we did kind of skim on it a little bit. I did really like the John Moxley, Eddie Kingston stuff. Their promos have been great, but it is also kind of telling when it's just like, yeah, Eddie, you don't have a chance in this match. And it's just like, yeah, he doesn't.
Dan, does that make you think that he...
That doesn't make me think that, yeah. This is one of those few times that I'm like, nah, they're just not... They're not pulling the... Because, I mean, I guess to me, FTR attacking the Young Bucks does make me think that the Young Bucks will win. But it'll be interesting to see what happens to them if they lose, I suppose, come Saturday. But yeah, I do not think that there's any double back. John Moxley is not dropping that title to Eddie Kingston. I guess, yeah, I've been on that train for a while. As much as I've loved their stuff, it's a little tough for me to completely invest in just because I know that outcome.
Yeah.
Like, I there aren't very many outcomes that I'm like, yeah, that's definitely happening. But that's one of them. You know, we'll see. I could see if Brian Cage ends up getting another crack after Full Gear here, that Brian Cage could take it, even though he has a toy belt that never gets defended, and he just wears it around, so it just kind of looks silly to me.
Yeah, it does. It's stupid.
Should at least be defended every now and again if you're going to make it somewhat feel legitimate.
It's not legitimate.
Yeah, I mean, Taz was trying to make you believe it was legitimate, so I mean, you would think you'd at least try to keep up, a nice facade that it is legitimate, but they do not have that facade in the way at all. Yeah, so it's a little bit hard for me to buy into that Moxley Kingston match, despite like both ends of the promos have been awesome.
No, Eddie Kingston is an incredible promo. And John Moxley's right there at his tail. No, they've done some really great stuff with this unorthodox, certainly main event. Eddie Kingston going from as they brought it up many times in AEW last year, contemplating retirement to being in the main event of a pay-per-view for the number two wrestling promotion in the entire world. In a year is a pretty impressive accomplishment.
Yes, it is. So good for him, he's talked his way into he had a great match with Cody, and then he talked his way into a main event spot. I'm not sure that he's gonna get very many main event spots after this one, but nonetheless, I do feel like he's in one, and that's more than a lot of people can say.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, another build up that I was not a fan of. Vicky Guerrero's screechy promo at Sheeta was I was not a big fan. What were your thoughts on that one?
I'm not a fan of, but they've also not done a lot with it. Nyla Rose and Vicky Guerrero, ever since they introduced Vicky Guerrero, then they go weeks without being on Dynamite. So we really have not established this Nyla Rose Vicky Guerrero dynamic. And Vicky Guerrero is essentially doing the same thing she's been doing for over 10 years. So there's no new ground here. It was the once again, the booking of the AEW Women's Division is paltry at best. Not much going on here.
Yeah, it's tough too. Like Sheeta's English is limited, and I don't know. She does not do as good a job emoting as Asuka. You can really tell what her attitude is by the way, with her body language, and Sheeta does not have that skill. And it's hurting that story. And yeah, Vicky Guerrero doing the same thing that she's been doing for all this time. I'm like, okay, moving along here. And I know that there were some other good parts to the build. What was a good part of the Full Gear build that we have not gotten to yet?
Exactly sure if there really is in the terms of, I mean, there's been some entertaining moments with Jericho and MJF, but all of a sudden, without much warning, it's now turned into a blood feud, and they just really want to go at each other. When exactly, between what musical number did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. Because I guess I didn't think too much of it until MJF attacked Jericho during the match. Like, that was kind of weird. Or had they already announced that they were in a blood feud at that point?
right, yeah. Nah, it's just there's just been no there was just no transition to the more a more serious tone in this feud. So it's just the whole thing's just very weird, and I'm getting another vibe of something. Did you find Jericho to be more complimentary of baby faces and more acting more babyface himself on commentary last night?
I think so, yeah. A little bit.
Which got me thinking, MJF is not just joining the inner circle. He's kicking Jericho out and taking over as leader.
Oh, man, you've had some good calls tonight.
That's great calls. This is our best show in, this is my best show in weeks.
Like, if they don't do this stuff, like, they're missing out.
Yeah. I mean, two big swerve angles on a show. I mean, it's been done. I mean, it's especially if you feel like you need it to really reset things. And after, because the last pay-per-view ended on such a downer, maybe they do feel like they need to do that. Maybe there will be a bunch of a lot of things happening. But I am pretty confident that at least one of the two things, that one of the two major swerves I've predicted will take place. At least one of them.
Yeah, and I didn't even think about that. MJF taking over the inner circle was an option, but it kind of would make some sense. I mean, aside from, I would assume that Swagger would go with Jericho.
Yeah, and you know, swap out Wardlow as well. Yeah, that would make sense. But my God, Jake Hager is a babyface. Wow. but then, yeah. Maybe he'll just leave AEW and wrestling altogether. Who knows?
Yeah, he's kind of.
He doesn't look like he wants to be there. He wants to be there anymore. Actually, he never looked like he wanted to be there. He's never, you know, he just looks like a guy who thinks wrestling is stupid and fake, and I don't know why I'm doing it anymore.
Well, he definitely, like, they've invested almost nothing in his character.
No, they have not.
Like, it's honestly like they just pay him to show up, and it's just like, oh, well, we have Jake Hager, and he's in MMA, so that'll give us credibility. And that's the only reason we're paying him. I guess. Like, yeah. Like, I can't figure out why else they have him. Because, I mean, he's just...
Favorite of Jericho, favorite of JR. I mean, I guess.
Yeah, you know, hey... I guess we normally say these things about such people like Randy Orton. Work smarter, not harder. Jake Hager, certainly working smarter, not harder. Because most of the times he just gets to stand around and look intimidating. And God bless if you can get a paycheck for that. And a probably fairly substantial one at that. Yeah, so there was, that angle. Miro, continues to be one of those things that, it's just another misuse, or just the fact that, is Rusev / Miro just done at this point? Like, do you lose it at some point? Like, I am kind of getting confused at this juncture.
I think you absolutely... I think he's absolutely lost it. But I don't know what else he wants to do with his life unless he really feels like he can make a good living playing video games. So some people do. So maybe that's... It just seems like he's on TV to advertise his Twitch stream, which just seems like a really ass-backwards thing to do.
yeah, I just, I don't get it. Like, it's one of those ones. Well, not even one of those ones. Like, there's so many people that are coming back out from, from the WWE that they're like, I kind of feel like they brought him out to be a name and they have not done anything of the sort, you know? Like, they have not brought any name value whatsoever. And they haven't changed their, like, they're like, you thought they were underutilized in the WWE, but then they haven't been able to be utilized in AEW. Miro's one of them. Shawn Spears is a guy that, not that I am completely surprised that he hasn't done much of anything, but he's still, not getting any more airtime. And I kind of forgot that that women's division could really use Tainara Conti, but she's barely been on TV too. If they wanted to build some depth in
Yeah,
that division at all. But and I'm trying. I know that there's another guy aside from Spears who that.
Matt Cardona, who's already come and left.
Oh yeah, that is Zack Ryder. Yeah, like I'm like, oh man, that's what you get for being Cody's buddy. You just kind of get a paycheck and then you're off TV.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know how well he's doing with the action figure podcast and the whole merchandising of it. Maybe he's doing really well. And he definitely did not feel like he belonged in AEW. It just did not. Maybe until he comes up with a new persona for himself that I don't know what value he has to another wrestling company.
Yeah, that's the pretty bizarre thing too, is that, I don't feel like any of those three guys, they've almost presented themselves very similarly to the way they were in the WWE. And that's kind of been part of their problem. I know that Spears is trying to do this kind of bad boy gimmick type thing, but Tully Blanchard mostly blowing him off has done him no favors. And not being on TV has done him even less favors.
Yeah, no.
And
No
so,
favors for Shawn
yeah.
Spears. And none are deserved.
Yeah, so I don't know if Cardona is doing that well with the pod that he's like whatever, but I mean Myers is getting regular TV time on Impact, isn't he? So I don't know. Paycheck might be bigger, but Zack Ryder ain't doing anything different than he was doing in the WWE. I guess, hey, be around people you want to be around is the lesson for that one. And then there was one other small thing, and I'm trying to remember what it was. And I'm completely missing it as far as AEW went. But I'm kind of missing it in the review, and it's not that that big of a deal, honestly. So I guess that leads us on to the NXT portion of the second show of the week. Makes life so much easier when you get to split these things up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
Well. NXT, fresh off of some Halloween Havoc, they started laying some groundwork here for the next set of goings on for NXT, and Speaking of someone that is not doing any better in NXT than they were on the main roster, Ember Moon and Dakota Kai started us off, and Ember Moon losing in what I would say is the first big time return match. 'Cause what, this is her second or third match back on NXT?
Yeah, it is. I think it's her second. Yeah.
She ends up
Oh, third,
taking.
third. That's third.
Okay, yeah, she takes the L to Dakota Kai. There was a little bit of Raquel Gonzalez shenanigans on the outside, but nothing too crazy, honestly. To me, that would make her lose. Well, that she should lose the match. But Dakota Kai seems to be ahead of Ember Moon on the pecking order here. Ember Moon's got some work to do to work back up to the top of NXT here.
Very odd loss for one Ember Moon. Then again, Dakota Kai has lost quite a bit lately, so she did need a win to refresh her. But at the same time, Dakota Kai's had her shot at Io Shirai and came up short. So she's also not really gonna be in the women's title picture anytime soon either. So it was kind of a weird decision, a weird loss. Very good match though. So once again, the NXT
Yeah.
women's division is incredibly strong.
Yeah, I will not take the quality of the match away from those ladies. It was a banger for being a little over 9 minutes or so. yeah, that was a good start to things. We got some Cameron Grimes, still a little freaked out by his Dexter Lumis experience taking on Kushida. Because of a ref bump, all of those nightmares come back to fruition because the referee that was the zombie last week ends up coming out to replace the ref who was already bumped, and we lead to another Kushida victory. And Cameron Grimes just continuing to kill it with the comedy in NXT.
Yeah, he absolutely did. And of course, and it makes sense that after what happened last week that we don't just completely move on from it, and that Cameron Grimes has the opportunity to continue to flex his comedy chops and be absolutely traumatized by the experience.
Yeah, I certainly understand the his hesitancy on this one, and I can dig it. What are your thoughts on the Drake Maverick and Killian Dain pairing here? Is this something that you have been enjoying?
You know what? They're winning me over. I could not have cared less when this started, but they're winning me over. It's a fun act. Don't know how far you can go with it. Once again, it's pure comedy, but there's certainly a ceiling for Drake Maverick, and the little guy can't reach it. And Killian Dain just doesn't have the, even though he's a big dude, he just doesn't have the monster aura that other people have who are getting pushed on the main roster ahead of him. So, well, comedy tag team, fine by me.
Yeah, I wasn't super excited about it to start with. I feel like Jeremy was kind of in from the jump. It's getting pretty amusing. I'm glad that Dane is kind of getting in on the act, so to speak, at this point, and kind of enjoying the tag team because it was gonna get annoying if they didn't kind of become a real tag team. Yeah, this that match though was interrupted by I can't believe they're going with something as generic as the Kings of Wrestling
Is that what
for
they really said that they is that what they really said it was?
I think so.
I don't I never heard that. It was I don't think it was pounded in.
Oh, they definitely Pat said it on that. They kind of had that drive-in promo, and he was saying it on their drive-in. So he de and maybe it didn't get pounded home, but he definitely mentioned that as they were driving. Still. Before the whole Killian Down Dane beatdown portion of things. Did you what'd you think of that promo though by McAfee that happened after the initial beatdown?
Again, a really good promo by Pat McAfee. He's definitely automatically one of the better promos in the entire business. Very good. Once again, retreaded a little bit of the material from last week. I don't know if things necessarily need that much explanation, but it was good to remind everyone exactly what Undisputed Era did to Pete Dunne a couple of years back.
Oh.
And why Kyle O'Reilly was a complete moron for actually believing that Pete Dunne was coming out to help him. Like, well, under what evidence in your relationship would tell you that this is going to end positively for you?
I'm glad they're just like you're a bunch of dumbasses. Like, and that's I guess it's another one where obviously Undisputed Era is supposed to be going babyface in this one, but it's like when you're just kind of getting clowned on your own material, it's hard to feel bad for you.
You're not wrong, but this is certainly the hottest thing in NXT, and I still think that when the Undisputed Era returns, it's going to be a pretty big moment, and we'll get the all-out brawl ending with William Regal, much like everyone looking at William Regal to say the line, Regal, say the line, Regal. War games. Yay, he said the line. He said the line.
That will definitely happen
I
soon
did not
enough.
do William Regal's rendition of War Games justice at all. He is in a class to himself in that regard.
Oh man.
Even if WCW had someone who said War Games with that kind of gravitas, they'd still be around.
Oh man. Yeah. So next up on the NXT docket was some Shotzi Blackheart versus Toni Storm. Evidently, we got some build-up promos to this because Shotzi evidently was allowed to pick her opponent because she hosted Halloween Havoc. And instead of going for a title, she just decided to take on some Toni Storm. And that led to some interesting shenanigans happening during this match. Because I guess I was a little bit confused about the missing tank situation. Did I miss part of the show?
I thought the exact same thing. They never had a segment where she found her tank missing.
Dokie. I'm glad it was just. I'm like, did I fast forward past something? Was what I kind of thought because when she came out all pissed off at Toni Storm, I was I was utterly confused. And it would have helped too. Like, I was glad that Vic Joseph kind of mentioned that that's a little bit of an homage to her brother who's in the army. You know, driving the tank down to the ring. So I think that's one of those kind of little touches that they always kind of talk about her having fun. But I think that's a nice little touch to kind of help fill you in on why she does that.
Yeah, it was a great touch. It was really, I really liked that a lot. It really added a lot to what happened. It added some real sense of evil to Candice LeRae's actions, the understanding of Chachi Blackheart's emotional reaction. It was really well done. I liked it a lot. Yes, yeah, and once again, Chachi's a star. So we're putting her in against in a full feud. They've interacted with each other, but for a full feud with one Candice LeRae, I think that's a really good spot for Chassis to be in. So yeah, I'm looking forward to where they're gonna go with this.
Yeah, I continue to be a fan of keeping her away from the title picture for now. Just because obviously Io looks like she's starting her own business of defending against Rhea Ripley here on her
Yeah,
own.
really interesting there, that Io's the one making the challenge. I like that when they have the champion do that. The champion feel like she's got something to prove against the baddest woman on the roster. Thumbs up to all that. I was glad when when they were announcing the matches for next week that they weren't doing that match next week. That's definitely a takeover match coming up. So I'm not
Oh.
sure that's a fine second top match under the War Games match to have on that show, a show that last I saw they're not doing it Survivor Series weekend this year. They're gonna push it to December on a Sunday to do it, which I guess there's no point to doing, or at least you don't it's don't necessarily have to do an entire weekend worth of shows. It's tied together since there's no fans there.
I mean, I guess I appreciate it in some ways because I end
Yeah, me
up
too.
with less WWE fatigue when I don't have to watch a show Saturday and Sunday night. Especially since we do even with some canceled games still have some football. To watch some of these days. Oh yeah, but Io and Rhea should be a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to that. Have they wrestled before?
One-on-one, I feel like they have.
Yeah,
I feel like they have. I feel like it happened as a number one contenders match while Charlotte was. Yeah, no, it definitely happened then. Charlotte was
Oh.
champion, and the no
Yeah.
contest leading to the triple threat. Yeah, that's definitely at least that one time, if not at any time at all in 2019.
Yep, I think I am smelling what you're cooking on that one. I would not have remembered that. But yeah. So, but I still think that they didn't really sink in a whole feud for it, and that's the treatment that they're gonna get now. And I am quite sure that, or I'm assuming that I will enjoy it. And then NXT also had something of an interesting main event here.
Yeah, something of an underwhelming main event. It actually ended up being a very good match, but you got Dream is Dream, and Ciampa is definitely stale at this point, and so their feud has no real heat to it. But they had a pretty good match.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty nice summary of things. Like, and I don't think there's any reason to expand on it.
Yeah, no. The only thing I've reached another of my theories. I think I figured out what they're doing with Velveteen Dream and Matt Riddle. They're keeping them on TV. They're having them lose all the time, so that it looks like they're being punished. But what's really happening is they're losing all the time in really good matches. So to wear the audience down to accept them again.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, yeah, both of them have been featured on TV and continue to be on TV. They're taking L's left and right, but, you know, being on TV, always better than not being on TV.
Correct, and they're still being allowed to have good matches. You know, Riddle's last match with Sheamus was actually excellent, you know, and the, you know, Dream's match with Ciampa was also very good. So, yeah, you know, I think my theory holds some water here. We'll see how that all goes. They do have an issue with Ciampa, though. They got to figure out. I don't know if he needs new gear, shave the beard, what, but it's not working anymore.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't that big of a fan of him returning basically to the evil Ciampa gimmick.
But now he's a babyface again.
Yeah.
Without turning.
And it was last week, but I saw his new TC shirt, and I just thought to myself, I'm like, I get the charm of it, but it's still kind of lame. Like, I just, yeah, I don't know. Not the best design thing. And I feel like when you're kind of going for a redesign and your redesign doesn't land, it's kind of rough. But yeah, Ciampa kind of, he needs a Gargano-like change. Now, I mean, it did help that Gargano wasn't really a heel ever. But it took him a while to settle into that. And I don't know, was Ciampa really a baby face other than his run with Gargano in NXT?
No, he was a babyface last year when he was feuding with Adam Cole.
Oh, shit, yeah.
He returned from his injury as a babyface.
Yep, forgot about that.
Yeah, he has not had a great luck.
No. No, his return has not been terribly good.
And there was... Was there another injury issue in between... his last match with Gargano and returning not that long ago? Feels like he was off TV for a while, too. Over the summer, at least.
Yeah. In between that, after that first match back, it seemed like he had some time off in between. So, yeah, he has not gotten some camera time on top of not really getting to sink his teeth into anything since returning. It has certainly been a rough go of it for Ciampa. So, yeah, we shall see what his future, you know, obviously they still like him, but they do need to... find something out for him at this point to freshen up his character. Anything else to cover before beverages get talked about?
I think it's time for some beer talk.
I still have some Oktoberfest in the old collection here. It's not that old. But I kind of bought some right at the end of Oktoberfest, and I haven't quite gotten to it. This one is Outerbelt's, aptly named Oktoberfest Lager Beer. Has a little less of a ruby color to it than most Oktoberfest beers. So it kind of tastes more like a just a straight up lager to me. And I wish it had a little more sweetness to it. I do think that Oktoberfest beers have a little tinge of sweetness to it that I think this one lacks a little bit. But it's still a good beer. It makes for easy drinking during the show when you have a nice low ABV beer. I've really gotten into dropping off the ABV chart this year instead of having like 10% beers all the time. It definitely feels different in the morning. So yeah, Outerbelt Brewing, they're just outside of 270 here. They do make some very good beers. I believe I talked about their gravel donuts last week on the show. So this is another one of their offerings that I snagged recently. So yeah, that's it for at DeFrango 11. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever you can, please do so. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Later.